Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we've got a great show for you here on this Thursday. We could have almost saved it for Friday for a Freedom Friday show or a fake news Friday show, because we're going to do a little freedom conversation. There's some pro-gun, pro-gun rights legislation included in the One Big Beautiful Bill. Greg Simon with KATQ Radio out of Plentywood is going to join us in the second half of the show to talk about that from a freedom perspective. And then fake news. We could have saved the fake news segment for a fake news Friday segment, but we got to get to this big story right now. On the phone lines from the Attorney General's office, we've got Montana's Solicitor General, Christian Corrigan, now with us here today on Montana Talks. And this is a big story, I truly believe, exposing the fake news media here in Montana. First off, Solicitor General Christian Corrigan, great to have you on Montana Talks. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Aaron. I appreciate it.
So I remember, I forget the organization that I had on the show a while back, but a lot of us across Montana, we know the name Hans-Jörg Wiese. He's a radical left-wing mega donor. He funds all these Democrat Party front groups. He funds all these radical environmental groups. He's not even an American citizen, but he's been funding ballot initiative campaigns. Well, he's also one of the names behind a fake news media outlet here in Montana. And apparently that fake news media outlet is threatening to sue state officials here in Montana.
Yeah, that's right. So the Daily Montanan is a project of this larger left-wing entity called States Newsroom. And what States Newsroom does is they operate these sort of fake news sites in every in a lot of states across the country, and they have names like the Daily Montanan or the South Carolina Daily Gazette or the Utah News Dispatch. It sounds, you know, very local, very grassroots, when in reality they're just sort of part of this large left-wing project. And yes, Mr. Wiese is a large donor to States Newsroom. And what's interesting is that States Newsroom says, well, we're very transparent because we disclose all our donors of $1,000 or more, except for the fact that Mr. Wiese gives them millions of dollars, as well as other sort of large left-wing organizations. And the way this started is the Montana Congressional Delegation, as well as the Attorney General's Office and the Governor's Office, finally had enough with dealing with the Daily Montanan due to the fact that they are sort of a left-wing blog that doesn't abide by traditional media standards separating their opinion and their news sections. And so our office got together with our fellow elected officials and said, you're not entitled to special privileges simply because you call yourself a news organization. You don't get special access. And so
that's
until
exactly
you change
right.
your operating structure, yeah, absolutely. And so they sent a letter. We sent a letter saying, we're no longer going to comment on stories. We're no longer going to give you interviews because we're not. You're not entitled to it.
You're not a real news outfit. You don't get special privileges. All right, hold that thought. Yeah, and then apparently they threatened to file a lawsuit. Hold that thought more with Solicitor General Corrigan right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the Daily Montanan, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's basically a fake news, dark money-funded Democrat Party front group pretending to be a news outfit. And so they write their stories online. But then what ends up happening is because the news business is in such decline right now, because TV stations are losing money, because because newspapers are being demolished. I mean, the Billings Gazette, they're still trying to sell their empty building in downtown Billings. The Missoulian lost their beautiful property near the Clark Fork River. And so what ends up happening is now you might pull up a newspaper and it's not even their own reporters writing stories for their own newspaper. They are literally, even the TV stations do this. I'm amazed when I see the Montana Television Network, for example. They have a whole team of reporters. Why would you copy and paste fake news into your news as if it's news? And they will copy and paste something from this, you know, Democrat front group, the Daily Montana, into their news headlines as if it's actually news. And it's just like, wow. But then again, they've been pretty biased at times as well. Back to it here with Solicitor General Christian Corrigan for the state of Montana. So, you know, Christian, I always remind people that the First Amendment wasn't written in our United States Constitution for the New York Times or for CBS News or for whatever digital version appears today. It was written for every single one of us. And so, look, when Democrat Governor Steve Bullock was in office and refused to ever talk to me or refused to come on and take phone calls from our listeners, hey, you know what? I get it. But it hurt them more than it hurt me. We have a better show without, you know, some of these politicians sometimes, right? Oh, but now you get a Democrat commentator like the Daily Montana, and they think they deserve special access. And now they're threatening to sue state officials for not giving them special privileges.
That's exactly right. And, you know, fortunately, that argument has been rejected resoundingly by the courts for about four decades now. The courts have been very clear that the media doesn't have a special right of access beyond that of what the public has. Your listeners have the same right to gather news and to speak on issues that the Daily Montana does. And, you know, it's one of those things where this is another example of the left wing, you know, thinking they're entitled to something that they're not. And it's particularly, you know, when we responded to their demand letter, you know, they put themselves out there as being independent and nonpartisan. But when you follow the money, that's just simply not true. And in addition to Mr. Weiss, you know, Pierre Omidyar, who's one of the billionaire eBay founders, is another donor of theirs that funds a ton of left-wing causes. And they're all connected to sort of the mothership that I think your listeners might be familiar with called Arabella Advisors, which is essentially a for-profit clearinghouse that washes dark money and allows it to be spent across the country on left-wing causes. And it's one of those things where a lot of folks see a site like the Daily Montana, and if they're not informed and think that this is a homegrown news site and might think that they are just calling balls and strikes when that's simply not true. And, of course, if you spend any time reading their site, you can understand the problem. But like you said, in today's news environment, the stories get reprinted, you know, across the state, and folks don't know that this is the state's newsroom in Daily Montana, and, you know, were created, you know, 6-7 years ago as part of a big left-wing movement to control news in the states because they felt like they were losing control with social media and with new media, and they were losing control of the narrative. And so, you know, our letter is a very thorough letter in response, and I don't know if it's online yet, but we will publish it. But it goes through the history of all of this, documents all of what the folks have done, like Americans for Public Trust and even the New York Times and others, to sort of follow the money and document how these groups are coming up and where the money is coming from.
Yeah, and they're not just trying to influence politics in Montana and regulatory decisions, but they're also, you know, Hans Wiese. The reason why a lot of our listeners know who Hans-Jörg Wiese is, the Swiss billionaire, is because he has been one of the big financial backers of the American Prairie Reserve, the APR, which is trying to kick the ranchers off the land here in Montana. And so here you have your so-called news organizations copying and pasting propaganda from a mouthpiece like that to deliberately undermine Montana's culture and economy. Jake Eaton is a Republican political strategist here in Montana. Jake, what's your take on all this?
I mean, it's pretty hilarious. You know, these guys, and if anybody doesn't know, the Daily Montana is run by a guy named Daryl Ehrlich, who used to be the editor of the Billings Gazette, who was fired by Lee Enterprises. But now Lee Enterprises and all their Montana papers regularly runs, you know, this content that he's putting out. And I just pulled up their website. I mean, this is to give you an idea of some of their headlines from this, you know, totally, you know, legit journalist outfit here, the Daily Montanan. Some of their headlines today include early providers of abortion care in Montana saw women through devastating experiences. U.S. default could hit during Congress's summer recess. $1,000 Trump accounts for babies skewed towards the wealthy. Public lands betrayal. Steve Daines, we will not forget or forgive.
even though Randy Newberg and Stephen Ranella have been praising Montana Republicans for standing up for public lands, the fake news commentary. All right, hey, Jake, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I'll come back to you right after the break here. Look, I do commentary on this show. You may agree or disagree with my commentary, but at least we're honest. These people pretend to be news. They lie about being news while they push their left-wing propaganda. And then other TV stations and folks reprint this garbage? Stand by.
Did you? Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I definitely want to go back to Jake Eaton, Republican and conservative political strategist here in Montana. Very successful at that as well. But he was talking about how this Daily Montanan is run by a gentleman named Daryl Ehrlich. And Daryl Ehrlich actually was the editor of the Billings Gazette and basically got... He was too liberal for the liberal Lee newspapers. I mean, Jake, that's the thing that... It's just like this guy was too partisan Democrat and too liberal for even the liberal Lee newspapers. Yeah. So now he's running...
Which is saying something, right?
That's
an impressive feat.
That's an achievement. That is an achievement in itself. I remember, you know, when he was at the Billings Gazette, they were always pumping this anti-coal strip coverage. They were always promoting the American Prairie Reserve. Huh, now he's promoting the Hans Wiese outfit again. He was always pushing and promoting gun control. I mean, partisan activist, but yet he pretends to be news as he's funded by Democrat Party mega donors.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and the proof's in the pudding, right? Like, I mean, I just read off some of these headlines, and you can just go to their site, which I'm not going to do them the courtesy of saying what their website is, but you can find it. And just look at it. I mean, it looks like, you know, just a series of press releases put out by, you know, the Democrat Party and every liberal special interest group. But the proof's in the pudding, because you can go back and you look at all of these, you know, campaign commercials. We just went through this, you know, historically expensive campaign cycle in Montana, right? We'll go back and look and see the dozens and if not hundreds of stories and headlines from the Daily Montanan that these liberal groups were using in their television and digital ads, right? So this is all part of the same ecosystem, right? These guys gen up the headline that then the overtly political groups can go out and promote in campaign advertising. So, you know, they all play off of each other, and definitely, you know, they all have their own role to play inside of this, you know, liberal ecosystem, you know, trying to push their kind of wacky causes of the day, whether, like you said, it's, you know,
it's all part about establishing that narrative, you know, promoting the APR surreptitiously through fake news, you know, promoting the radical environmentalist agenda to go against the timber industry or coal or oil or gas or to provide cover fire for, you know, liberals like former Senator John Tester, who allowed this illegal alien invasion to take place. They were always providing cover fire for him as well. Tell us about, before I go back to Solicitor General Christian Corrigan, Jake, tell us who this Upper Seven law firm is, because that's the law firm they're using to threaten to file suit against all of these state officials here in Montana, demanding special access.
Yeah, so it's pretty funny, right? Like, as if there's not enough Democrat lawyers in the state of Montana, right? You could have gone to anybody. You know, 90% of the state bar is Democrats. Probably 75% of them are liberal Democrats. But they went to the one, like, unapologetically liberal activist nonprofit law group called Upper Seven. So these guys, a couple of folks that used to work for Steve Bullock and John Tester, who once, you know, there was no elected officials to go to work for, right? These Democrat operatives who just happened to be lawyers needed to figure out something to do for a living. So they created this nonprofit law firm called Upper Seven. And they get funding from many of these same groups that are funding the Daily Montanan, right? The Arabellas of the world and all these liberal donors and the unions. And then they go out and engage in various lawfare campaigns against conservatives. I mean, you know, and Christian could probably talk more about it, but I mean, these guys sued Fox News at one point in time.
Yeah, I'm reading the letter here. I'm reading, this was a letter from Attorney General Austin Knutson and Solicitor General Christian Corrigan here. Our listeners might remember Jankowicz was her name. Scary Poppins was one of the names for her. Janko Haffowitz. She was going to be the disinformation czar. She was the disinformation czar, the censorship czar for Joe Biden. And even that blew up in their face so bad. And apparently, this law firm is connected to the type of censorship and speech crackdowns, but yet they want to claim. Anyway, yeah, Jake, hold that thought. Let's go back to Solicitor General Christian Corrigan. So, yeah, Christian Corrigan, apparently this isn't the first run in here with the very left-wing Upper Seven law firm.
No, it's not. And listen, they've been, given the climate in this state with our judiciary, they've been very successful at attacking a lot of, you know, really good conservative legislation over the past few years. But it is very interesting that their letter on behalf of the Daily Montanan, you know, questions indignantly the department and our elected officials' commitments to free speech and freedom of the press when they've been co-counsel, you know, for a disinformation czar suing a major media outlet for defamation simply because they mocked her as, you know, Scary Poppins and disinformation czars. You know, Aaron, I have to ask, I mean, can you imagine if one of our elected officials in Montana sued a media outlet here because they made fun of them? I mean, can you imagine what the reaction would be if Austin Knutson or the governor did that? I feel like they would be, the left-wing media would be apoplectic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and yeah, in that disinformation czar, and now they want to, I mean, these people have no credibility whatsoever when it comes to the First Amendment of the United States. Talk about the public right to know. Look, you will still stand and defend, my assumption here, and I think your letter speaks to that. The Attorney General will stand and defend the left-wing, you know, Democrat front group, Daily Montanan blog, and their public right to know and access to information, just like the rest of us get access to information. You know, it's interesting to me that when I see these media outlets, even the Montana Broadcasters Association, it's like, okay, so you guys jumped on the bandwagon filing suit against, I think, was it the governor or the legislature for a, you know, public right to know. Well, where were you guys when it comes to the public's right to know with the far left Montana Supreme Court? And that's what really bothers people here is it's like, oh, they want special access and they want to copy and paste these fake news headlines into their news. They want to sue the governor and sue the legislature, but they won't sue the Montana Supreme Court for the same right to information.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to what I said initially, which is that every Montanan, whether you are the average citizen or a media outlet, of course is able to avail themselves of the right to know. And as our letters have made clear, we will still fulfill public records requests in accordance with the law. But that doesn't entitle you to some type of special access simply because you call yourself a journalist. I do think it's interesting that the Daily Montanan, one of their defenses for their practices is that, you know, we say we abide by, you know, the highest journalistic practices, et cetera. But you might be familiar that the Associated Press actually sued the Trump White House over getting its access revoked because of the refusing to acknowledge the name change on Gulf of America. And, you know, that's a really interesting case. It's a much different question I happen to think the Trump White House is right on that. I think the D.C. Circuit sided with him. But one of the really interesting things is in the lawsuit, the Associated Press actually specifically disclaimed the right that the Daily Montanan is claiming here, the right that they have a right to have the president or an elected official actually speak to them. So it shows you just how far adrift they are from even sort of mainstream news practices and mainstream thought in the area and how sort of extreme this position is.
Yeah, and in their defense letter claiming that, well, we follow the Associated Press and the Washington Post. Okay, you're not helping yourselves because the Associated Press is a freaking joke. The Associated Press are the ones that, oh, they're undocumented citizens, not illegal aliens. So, yeah, they've been exposed. Well, Solicitor Corrigan, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us here. About a minute or so to go here, going back to Republican political strategist Jake Eaton. Jake, we got a message on the Montana Talks app from Tim in Billings. He says, groups like the Daily Montanan and liberal politicians have perfectly mastered what's called the wrap-up smear, where basically the politicians whisper something to the media. The media reports it as coming from a source, and then the politician cites the media report. Anyway, it's just this is how these Democrat Party front groups scratch each other's back and promote this fake news, is what he's saying, essentially.
Oh, I mean, 100%. Here's a perfect example, right? So Montana or the Daily Montanan, you know, sued the governor over public meeting access. Well, so I'm actually about to be engaged right now in a lawsuit with the city of Helena trying to get the body cam footage from when Democrat Senator Ellie Hill got a DUI in the middle of the night at twice the legal limit. And I actually emailed Daryl Ehrlich and some other news folks in the state and was like, hey, you guys have gotten involved in other litigation about the public's right to know. Why don't you join me in this lawsuit? Like, let's all go in together. This seems like should be very straightforward right to know case. And you might be surprised to find out that none of them even bothered to respond, let alone took me up on my offer to get involved in a lawsuit.
Yeah, where's the Montana Broadcasters Association on that one? Where's all these TV stations? You know, they'd have video footage for the evening news. They showed zero interest in getting the public information, the public's right to know concerning the big scandal at the Montana Supreme Court. And now apparently they aren't too interested in the public's right to know about a leading state lawmaker from Missoula passed out drunk in the middle of an intersection after the big tampon Tim Walz party in Helena. All right, Jake Eaton, great to have you on the show as well. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, Aaron.
All right, yeah, appreciate it. Okay, we got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks. What about the pro-gun and pro-gun rights components embedded in the one big beautiful bill in the United States Senate? That was it. Are you going to talk more about that? That was the question I got from Greg Simon with KATQ Radio in Plentywood. I said, hey, let's talk about that. But better yet, why don't you come on the show and talk about it? So Greg Simon will be with us next. Looking forward to hearing from him. Plus, Senator Steve Daines and the Gun Owners of America have weighed in as well.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
In a strongly worded complaint to the Food and Drug Administration, America's Butter Marketers asked the agency to take action against Country Crock's dairy-free salted butter. The marketers asserted that the product's label violates federal regulations. The plant-based spreads front label in bold letters describes itself as a form of butter, although federal standards of identity define butter as a product made from milk. In reality, and as admitted in much smaller front to the package labeling, the Country Crock products describe themselves as 79% plant-based oil spreads. Chris Galen, executive director of the American Butter Institute, says, quote, Country Crock is attempting to leverage the premium perception of real dairy butter maintained by consumers. The manufacturer is clearly trying to confuse the consumers about what the product is, an ultra-processed seed oil concoction, saying the product may indeed be a crock from the country, but it's not butter. USDA has mailed the July cattle survey to about 18,000 cattle producers nationwide to provide an up-to-date measure of U.S. cattle inventories. This is the first July cattle survey mailed to producers since the reinstatement of key reports was announced earlier this year. If you receive this, you can participate online via the phone, mail, or a personal interview. I'm Wayne Northland.
Hey, you.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so yesterday on the show, I was talking with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines about the big, beautiful bill. And they're hopeful, and they're both, by the way, I've also caught up with Senator Sheehy in the meantime as well. They both believe and they're confident that they can get the big, beautiful bill across the finish line for the 4th of July deadline next week. But after the show, I think it was yesterday, I got a great message from our friend and Greg Simon, KATQ Radio in Plentywood. And he sent me a message after the show. He said, "Do you have any plans to cover the suppressor and short barrel components of the big, beautiful bill that is currently sitting in the Senate?" And I thought, well, heck, yeah, we should. We should talk more about it. I think I've mentioned a little bit, but it's been a while now. And I said, better yet, why don't you join us and talk about it on this show? Greg Simon, KATQ Radio in Plentywood, great to have you on Montana Talks once again. How you been?
I've been well. It's great to be back here and talking to you again. It's always fun to catch up with you.
Well, we had such a great time at the Farm Expo, and always enjoy getting to, some people call it the forgotten corner, but never forgotten here with Montana Talks. And so we had such a great time seeing everybody up there. Before we jump into, you know, this one big, beautiful bill discussion, what's been happening in Plentywood? What's been happening in your neck of the woods?
Oh, we've been getting some rain every now and then, so it's nice. We've got a big all-class reunion coming up next weekend, so hopefully we'll get some beautiful weather for that. But it's been the typical nice, quiet countryside that everybody enjoys when they're up here. And when they pass through, that's what they fall in love with.
Those all-class reunions are a great time. Man, I didn't even graduate from Plentywood, but I want to sneak in and just pretend that I graduated from there. I wonder if Francis and Big Fork will be able to make it home for the all-class reunion. That'd be a ton of fun. Hey, oh, by the way, I should get to the huge news for the High Line. Of course, you're north of the High Line there, but I got to mention this one. Yesterday afternoon, we got the press release from the Bureau of Reclamation. It may be too late for too many this growing season, but the water is flowing once again for the lifeline of Montana's High Line. The BOR sent out the good news yesterday afternoon. The St. Mary's siphon repairs are now complete. Water deliveries are now resuming for the Milk River. So I can talk a little bit more about that here in a few minutes. But great news for folks all along the High Line. I know it still doesn't help some of the farmers who've been hit by the dry conditions and everything thus far, but still good news to see that water flowing again.
And we've got rain to make up for it a little bit, not as much as we'd like, but you're right, it is good news.
Well, and then crazy news in Sydney. Did you see that video south of Sydney? There was a fire at a facility out there, and then a big explosion. I know KTVQ had a story that caught my eye here earlier this morning. Crews called to explosion and fire at Sydney industrial plant. Residents from at least 10 miles away reported feeling an explosion at a saltwater disposal facility around 8 p.m. off Highway 261 south of Sydney near the North Dakota border. I did get a note from our friend Tim Tharp in Savage that the fire crews were able to clear the scene at about 7:20 this morning. But, yeah, that crazy video. For those who haven't seen it, I shared it on Facebook.com/Flint Report.
And there's a lot of good people around there being affected by that as well.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, let's jump into it here. So when it comes to the pro-gun or pro-gun rights legislation that's getting snuck into this one big, beautiful bill, what's standing out to you?
Well, the nice thing is they're rolling back some of the language in the NFA that is really, it was designed to impede the ability to actually carry out your 2A rights to carry firearms and to purchase firearms. And it was done so in a really draconian way. I mean, back in the day in the 30s, $200 was a very high amount, so only the rich could afford this. And we're being punished for the acts of mobsters, you know, and everyday men and women, we're not out there doing these sorts of things. And with over 3 million short-barreled rifles out in the public that are licensed properly right now through the system. Nothing's happened with those. Those people, every day they go out and go to a range and exercise their rights. They don't infringe upon anybody. They don't commit any acts of violence. And there are a lot of gun owners really rooting for this rollback of the NFA and to get rid of the really ridiculous tax requirements on it and some of the really ridiculous language. I mean, the tomfoolery in there is how they describe the firearm and the lengths it goes to. Well, nowadays with modern firearm technology, a lot of that language is very confusing, and it makes for a real mess if you really want to own a firearm legally. And you shouldn't have to be able to, you shouldn't have to jump through extra hoops just to go out and purchase something that you're going to use as a law-abiding citizen every day.
Yeah, that's right. So about 10 days ago, I saw there was a report at Ammoland.com, and then I also saw a video with Senator Steve Daines and Eric Pratt with the Gun Owners of America. But Ammoland reported this: the latest draft of the Senate Finance Committee's reconciliation bill includes long overdue rollbacks of the National Firearms Act, repealing the tax on suppressors, short-barreled rifles, and short-barreled shotguns. So I reached out to Senator Dane's office today just to see if all of that still stands in the latest draft. Senator Dane says, quote, "I'm working hard to protect our 2A rights by ending unconstitutional taxes and regulations on short-barreled rifles and shotguns. As an avid outdoorsman, I'll always fight to protect our Montana way of life." Yeah, Greg, this goes back to your point here, which is, okay, we have the right to vote. Well, in the segregationist South, they tried to charge poll taxes. And so you know, poor African Americans at the time weren't allowed to vote. They would use a poll tax, an extra fee, to prevent people from voting. Well, we have the right. We have gun rights. We have the right to bear arms. But they want to put on these poll taxes and these extra fees and these extra taxes to basically do what the segregationist South did. Well, you've got the right to vote as long as you pay these fees. Well, you've got the right to bear arms as long as you pay these extra fees. Same thing here, if you ask me.
It is, and it's all unconstitutional when they put these blockades in place. And really, I mean, we've got to really give a lot of props out to Senator Daines and Senator Sheehy. Those gentlemen have been fighting for rights, and as public, we need to continue to call and support them so they know where we're at with this and express both our support and thanks, but also our continued concern that this is, you know, something that's addressed and addressed properly.
So one of our listeners, I think it was Steve, he said he was messaging in from Los Angeles. He was wondering, so does this just repeal the tax, or does it also repeal any registration, especially when it comes to suppressors or silencers, whatever you want to call them?
When I was looking at it, a lot of the changes, they're striking the language from the NFA, not just the tax, but also the word. So it would basically, in effect, do away with the registration, because that, again, is unconstitutional. You're building a database of that firearm owner, and that's something that is strictly prohibited under law. The ATF is not supposed to be keeping track of who owns what.
Well, and I think
that's something that they've gotten in trouble for in years. They've done that kind of under the rug.
That's right. Yeah, backdoor registration. And Steve made a great point, too, that, you know, suppressors, silencers, whatever you call them, this is about hearing protection. And oddly enough, the ATF has purchased suppressors for their own agents for that very reason, hearing protection. And so it just makes sense for people, especially families that want to get out there and shoot and instruct their kids on the safe way to handle firearms. It's a lot easier to help teach kids if you can protect their hearing at the same time by at least starting with a suppressor.
It is, and that's one of the biggest problems with currently using firearms is the larger caliber you use. Proper hearing protection is a must, and a suppressor, when it cuts down that decibel volume to, in some cases where you don't have to have extra expensive earmuffs to block out that concussive force and prevent hearing damage, that's what really makes it nice, you know. And people ask why we need the short-barreled weapons. Well, it's not a need. There are some people that actually use them daily in their life, but it's just kind of nice to have something that you can put in a vehicle and not have to have it, you know. If you've ever put a large weapon in a vehicle like your hunting rifle, everybody knows you have it. And sometimes it's just nice to keep that out of the prying eyes of ne'er-do-wells. And so we kind of, you know, there's two sides to it, you know, that it's definitely a part of our society that we need to look at and support.
Yeah, I got a message from Elias in Belgrade. Is there any way that the NFA tax corrections in the Big Beautiful Bill could take effect immediately, or at least not having to wait 90-plus days? Maybe just like how you said some of those words are being struck altogether, that also eliminates things altogether immediately once the bill is signed into law.
It does, yes.
Very interesting.
The big thing to watch with this Big Beautiful Bill was there was a Senate Resolution 1. And this affects not just gun owners, but it affects anybody because it basically forces you to pay if you want to force or if you want to file a lawsuit against the federal government because something they're doing is infringing on your basic rights. It would force you to
pay for it. Hold that thought. Quick break.
Yeah. Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick before we jump back into it with Greg Simon talking about the Second Amendment provisions included in the Big Beautiful Bill. Huge news for the High Line. St. Mary's siphon repairs are complete. I've got the full story at MontanaTalks.com, which includes reactions and quotes from Ryan Newman, the Montana Area Office Manager for the Bureau of Reclamation, also the Acting Reclamation Commissioner, David Palumbo, and Jennifer Patrick, the Project Manager for the Milk River Joint Board of Control. She definitely gave praise to all the great construction crews that helped make this all happen. And by the way, they made it all happen earlier than everybody expected. Jennifer Patrick says, this milestone would not have been possible without the exceptional work of our contractors, NW Construction, Sletten Construction, and Pro Pipe, and the critical support provided by the Blackfeet Tribal Employment Rights Office. These crews worked tirelessly under intense pressure in challenging conditions to get the water flowing again. There you go. That story, MontanaTalks.com. Back to it with Greg Simon, KATQ Radio in Plentywood. So, yeah, Greg, you started to get into it a little bit, but there's more than just repealing some of these, what we would argue are unconstitutional taxes on short-barreled rifles, shotguns, suppressors, etc. What are the other kind of 2A/gun rights provisions that you've found maybe tucked into this big, beautiful bill?
Well, and to really put this out there, if anybody's looking for information, you can go to the Firearms Policy Coalition's website into their press section, and they give you a good outline of what they're attempting to do. One of the things they brought out, it's not so much a 2A aspect, but a full Bill of Rights aspect, is this Senate House Resolution 1 that was put through, and basically it's saying if you want justice, you have to put up a bond to cover the possible damage that any injunction that you're seeking against the federal government may cause the federal government. Well, as you and I know, that can be millions or billions of dollars, and so that really strips your ability away as a private citizen to defend yourself against the overreach of a government bureaucracy, where, you know, if you try and go in and get this injunction against them, they're not even going to consider it until you put up this several billion dollar bond. And that really strips away our rights as citizens. And that's something that the FPC has pointed out, that this just doesn't affect 2A. This affects everybody, left and right, center. This is a big deal. That's something you need to call your senators on and say, listen, that House Resolution 1 in the Senate needs to be stripped out of there because it takes away our rights as individual citizens of the United States. And that is a big misstep on their part.
Yeah, you know, I know.
Some great intentions there, but they really went sideways with it.
Interesting. Well, I know Gary Marbert with the Montana Shooting Sports Association. Of course, he's been leading from the front, as always, on these topics and more as well. I went back to something he put out. He put out some interesting information back at the end of May, actually about 1 month ago from today. So he says if the Senate approves the Hearing Protection Act as part of the One Big Beautiful Bill, here's what he says. He says if it does and President Trump signs it, which is expected, then that will remove suppressors from the National Firearms Act. If that removal happens, then suppressors will be treated legally as firearms. So, yes, a $44.73 to purchase, but no more $200 tax and no registration process. However, he says there is a hitch with Montana law and similar laws in a bunch of other states. Montana has a state law that makes it a felony to possess a suppressor that is not registered with the feds. Well, if suppressors are removed from the NFA, it's no longer possible to comply with that Montana law. So he says eventually in the 27 legislative session, he'll work to repeal that archaic state law. But in the interim, he's talked with our pro-gun Attorney General Austin Knutson, and A.G. Knutson says he will issue an advisory to Montana prosecutors saying that the Montana law is no longer enforceable. So I thought that was something interesting to add here, too.
And that's something that they're very aware of. Again, you'll find that across a couple of different commentators that they talk about that this would essentially make those laws null and void because they were the state laws were based off the federal law. And it's a hopeful step forward for gun owners and just people in general because it means we can change something that's been in effect for years before that was based off of really emotional decisions that should have never been processed through the government.
Yeah. About a minute or so to go here. Greg Simon, KATQ Radio and Plenty. It's been so great to have you on the show. We got to do this more often. If you ever have topics you want to join us on the show, hey, you're the radio professional. Join us anytime. This is good. Back to that explosion south of Sydney and the fire last night. You were telling me during the break, because I shared some photos of a guy who apparently this guy also had a drone in the air in that explosion. He doesn't know what happened to his drone. You had a buddy who had the same thing happen.
Yeah, apparently when it went off, there was a concussive wave. The one gentleman you brought up was the one that thought it weren't anything. But it knocked a couple of drones out of the air. It woke a few people up, I guess. And that plant isn't very far off from a lot of homes. So it's kind of a tricky situation. I can remember when I was working in Sydney driving past there a few times, and it's close enough. It's concerning.
Yeah.
They got their hands full.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out what happened there, what triggered the fire and then the explosion. But, yeah, the photos are just crazy. I've got them at facebook.com/Flint Report right now. And, yeah, if they recover those drones, I can only imagine the video footage that would show up there as well. All right, Greg Simon, great job. Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being with us. What are we going to talk about for Freedom Friday? Who knows, right?